Today's Mass is being offered for the blessed repose of the soul of Jan Lassiter, mother of Father Simon Carey and a priest of the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, who died in January. Today we have these readings. I'm sure many of you have never heard some of these readings. Whether it's the Gospel, if you've not read the whole of the Gospel, you probably wouldn't have stopped here on John chapter 7. But also, very few of you, I'm sure, have paid attention to this lesson from the prophecy of Daniel. Have you heard of the story of Bel and the dragon? Our Protestant brothers and sisters try to kick this out of the Bible. They don't think it's an important part of the Scriptures. I myself, when I grew up, I remember that I had spent time studying the Scriptures, seeing all these things unfolded, and could have told you very well, but I had no idea the reason why Daniel was being thrown into the lion's den was because he destroyed this idol. Because this idol was there, this idol of Bel the dragon, and he destroyed it so that the worship of that kind of God would not be present within the people. So we see what is going on right here. Liturgically right now, we're in the sense of Passion Tide. On our way through Passion Week, headed to next week, which is Holy Week itself, Semana Santa. And so during this time, what is the church attempting to share with us? The church is trying to show us that this reading has been done all throughout. Why? It was put here for the purpose of preparing catechumens. Those are those who are desiring to enter into the church. Maybe some of those who are with us are seeking to enter into the church right now. Or maybe some of you remember the time when you entered into the church, when you didn't know the love which God has for us in the Eucharist, and you were on your way there, recalling there your first Passion Tide prior to entering into the church. This was a lesson that for century upon century, catechumens would have to be prepared right before they would receive their Easter sacraments and come into the one true holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Why did they need to hear this? Think about it. At the very time when the catechumens were being prepared there in the early days, they didn't have to look only to Daniel to see this encouragement. They needed to be strong in the midst of persecution. All they had to do was look outside their door and see time and time again how the Roman officials would drag out their fellow Christians and put them to the test in the same way which Daniel was put to the test. In fact, one of the many great images that you find all throughout the catacombs and the churches that are hidden within Rome and other places, you see this image of Daniel and the lion's den there. Because those young Christians, those Christians very well knew that they had to have the same courage, the same ferocity, the same stalwart witness to Christ as opposed to the idols which can do nothing for us in the face of the persecution that they themselves would indeed endure. If the Lord gave them the grace, and they wanted to be strong to go through it. And so they turned to the prophet Daniel at this time. Daniel was put before these lions, and if you read through the annals of history, you see time and time again what? Not only was this one time which happened in the Old Testament during the time when the Babylonians had exiled the Jewish people and taken captive of them, did this miracle of shutting the mouths of the lions and the beasts happen? But where do we see that? Many, many, many times. Throughout the whole history of the martyrs, the age of the martyrs there, the first centuries of the church, they saw it time and time again. Where there it was that they would be put in front of them and the animals would have nothing to do with them. Isn't that God's grace? See, what God does in former times, he does in present times. What God did way back in the Old Testament, he did in the age of the church. And guess what? It's still the age of the church. God's doing the same thing for us. He wills to do the same thing. We have many ravenous lions that are seeking to destroy us. Not always the ones that we see, but rather it's the ones that we lie unseen. Right now, I'm sure that there's some of us who are here today who are in fear. That we're having broken hearts because we can't receive the Eucharist. Because we know that right there in the tabernacle is our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity there waiting for us, and yet we can't taste Him. We can't even be physically present for the Mass. Untold anguish goes on in our hearts. And what happens? It's just like anything within our lives. Anything which is good that we've become accustomed to, that when we don't have that necessary strength, that food for the journey, which is the Eucharist, which Jesus gives us of Himself when we receive Him, is what? Our tempers become a little more short. Become a little bit more irritated with others. That we find it more difficult to maintain our composure in times where we at once could have been very strong and showed a great Christian example. We see it weakening. Why? Because we don't have the same graces that we had before. Not in the same way that we're used to relying upon them. So what's the Lord asking of us? Daniel wasn't able to worship God the same way that he wanted to before. He didn't have his psalm book in his hands, where the Jewish people time and time again recited psalm after psalm, memorizing it and living them out with a group in there, forming their own synagogue there, which was to get 10 men together to recite the psalms together, just as the law commanded. He didn't have that anymore. So what did he do? It says in the book of Psalms, what? It says, "Thy word, O God, have I hidden within my heart, that I might not sin against God." This virus and this time of loss should be a wake-up call to us. Have we done the necessary preparatory work? Have we hidden God's word within our hearts? Have we stored up these practices, memorized these prayers, and internalized our experience with God in such a way, because there will come a day, again, this probably isn't the last time, maybe even within our own lifetimes, where the Mass will be taken from us. Are we prepared? Are we prepared to know how to make that spiritual act of communion daily, hourly? Or are we reliant only on the actual reception of Holy Communion? Maybe there'll come a day where there aren't enough men who answer the yes to the call of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we'll have even fewer opportunities to receive Christ. We have to be prepared. Yes, we're in an opportunity of a wake-up call. But just like Daniel, we need the same things. We need the same graces of God. Because what? The Lord desires to visit us just like He does in the Gospel there. What does He say? Our Lord Jesus was here waiting, but He knew that His time wasn't yet. This is His last Holy Week that He Himself knows He will experience before He goes to the cross. Next time He goes through Holy Week, goes through Passover, He knows that He's going to end on the cross. This is His last time before that. Knowing that it's not His time yet, He hides away so that it doesn't hasten His call, because He still has more to do. But yet He still goes up in secret and in hiding to be with His disciples. In this time, it may feel like we don't have our Lord with us. It's very difficult be a disciple without a master. Be a disciple not able to spend time with the Master, to sit at His feet and to learn. Yet, our Lord still comes. Just like He came to those apostles at that time, He comes in a hidden way. We receive Him in a hidden way when we make those spiritual acts of communion within our own homes. To make that movement of our soul, saying, "Oh Lord Jesus, I know that You're there. I believe all the things which Your holy Catholic and apostolic church has taught. I know that You live there, that You are the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And I know that I must taste You if I'm to have my daily bread. Lord Jesus, at this time, it's not of my own will. I'm separated from You. I long to be with You. Lord, though I may not be able to visit You, Lord, in a spiritual way, will you visit me? Though I cannot taste you, O Lord, Lord, will you please come to me? Though Father so ardently desires to give you to me, he cannot. So Lord, give me yourself. Help me to never offend you. I desire always to be pleased in you. Remain with me, now and always and forever. Make a prayer such as that, a spiritual communion, which you can offer as a sacrifice during this time. Our Lord indeed does desire to visit you. And just like the catacomb, those catechumens of the early part of the church who were preparing for their martyrdom, seeing the inspiration for the prophet Daniel and how he stayed firm, not worshiping idols, but staying just with Christ, and so they cast him in the lion's den, knowing that they themselves would later on find the same fate. Whether or not the Lord chose to shut the mouths of the lions, they knew beyond all things what the king said. King Darius proclaimed, "Let all the inhabitants of the whole earth fear the God of Daniel, for he is the Savior, working signs and wonders in the earth, who has delivered Daniel out of the lion's den." Brothers and sisters, as St. Paul, the author of Hebrews, said, "You and I have not yet resisted the point of shedding our own blood. But that day may come. Let us ask our Lord to prepare us through these spiritual acts of communion. For such a thing like this may happen when the wood is green, as the Station of the Cross dealing with the weeping women says, what will happen when the wood is dry?" Now the wood is dry. Are we prepared? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.